Psalm 71, let's stand together. And I was telling somebody today, folks, I believe the biggest problem in our church right now is that everybody is preoccupied with themselves. We are preoccupied with ourselves and what's going on in our quote-unquote little world. And we carry our little world to the house of God with us. And God can't get it off the ground when we do that. We got to leave our world in that world and bring His world to the house of God. Or it's not going to fly. It won't anywhere with any people. And what we're experiencing, I really believe His absence and His withdrawal of Himself. I preached a long time ago, God's trying to prove our faith, prove our love, find out how sincere we are if we're real. God's not doing it for punishment. God's doing it to create within us great Christian virtues and to show us just exactly how weak we are without Him. And in His time, if we'll stay faithful and right, not get bent out of joint about it, God will manifest His glorious presence one more time. He really will. But I meant when I said we've got our jubilee scheduled, and I don't think there's big sins and all that junk in the church, but that with the spirit is so low, our spirit is so low that it's grieved His spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And with the spirit that we have, it'd almost be folly to try to entertain a jubilee or a camp meeting and try to be a blessing to somebody else. My God, we're the ones that need the help. All of us better load up and find some camp meeting somewhere else. Or get some. Find him and bring him back. Here. Amen. All right. Psalm 71. I'll read the text and try to see what God says. And he might let me give you the outline, and again, he may not. I don't know. We'll just try to follow him. And I'm not going to try to force anything. God lets me preach, fine. If he don't, we'll go to the house. Verse number 1 of Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually be of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now may the Lord add His blessing to His word. I'll pray and try to read the outline or try to read the introduction. And we'll see if God will provide any type of liberty in order to preach tonight. All right, let's pray with me. Our Father, I'm thankful tonight for the word of God. It has been a lamp under my feet and a light under my path all of these years. Lord, so many times when we've walked through the valley, Thy Word has lifted us up. So many times when we've been bereaved and discouraged, the Word of God has encouraged us and blessed us and helped us. And I pray that You'll take Thy Word tonight and bless it to the hearts of this Your people. And I do pray, Lord, that You'd meet our need in the house of God this day. May the wind of heaven blow through the gable ends of our soul this day and refresh us again. Please lead us, Lord, to that rock that is higher than we are, for our spirit seems to be overwhelmed within us. I pray, Lord, that You'll lead us to that fountain of living waters this night and help us to drink from that everlasting spring that shall never run dry. I pray that You'll bless and honor Your word and bless Your people Save some old sinner tonight by the good grace of God. Provide every need in this house. I pray for liberty to preach, for direction from God, for that fresh anointing upon my spirit tonight that will allow me to preach Thy Word. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I'm not going to try to do for something tonight, but I'll try to preach what God's given me if He'll let me. And I may not be able to do any more than read the outline, but we're going to be faithful. Try to be instant in season and out of season. Let me call our attention tonight. It'll be in our text verse. Is found in verse number 7, where Brother David said, I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. I want to take that verse of Scripture by itself tonight, if I may, just for a little while, and lift it out of the context of Psalm 71 and preach for just a little while on the wonder of His grace. If you're really saved tonight by the grace of God, you are a wonder of His marvelous grace. How blessed and truthful that thought is. The world looks upon you and I who have been redeemed with great amazement. Has it ever occurred to you that they just cannot understand what has transpired in your life? The transforming power of Christ's grace has worked so miraculously in our life that many stand in unbelief at the work of grace that God has accomplished in us. A man or a woman who knows not the Lord will stand in literal wonder and amazement at those of us that have been lifted out of the deep miry clay, had our sins cast as far from us as the east is from the west, and been made righteous in the eyes of Almighty God. And they just cannot imagine, my friend, how such a radical change could take place in the heart and the life of such a sinner as you and I used to be. They wonder how the tongue that used to curse now makes sweet melodies in the choir. Just like the group in the back sings, you know, from out of the mire and into the choir. And they wonder how that God could take an old crooked stick like you and I and lift us out of the mire and take our tongues that used to curse and swear and set us in a choir and now allow us by His grace and through His Spirit to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound that saved a wretch like me. Of this nature were those people around David the king. For he said there, I am as a wonder unto many. They just wonder how God could love me, a sinner who was condemned unclean. And they wonder at the work of grace. They wonder how a man that used to be so involved in the world and so caught up in worldly entertainments and amusements is now faithful to the activities of his local church. And I tell you, they do wonder that. Even church, this religious crowd out here today who still allow their young boys and girls on prayer meeting night to attend the local Little League session and play Little League ball and let their children lay out of church on prayer meeting night and go down to the baccalaureate or go down to the senior prom, and old Brother Hall gets on the supper time hour and blows that mess plumb out of the saddle, they just wonder how in heaven's name you and I
My friend that used to be so involved in the world, so involved with the wildcats, so involved with fishing, so involved with hunting, so involved with all kinds of wicked entertainment, could possibly find our way to the house of God and be faithful in the activities down in the church house. I tell you on the authority of the Word of God that we that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb are a wonder of wonders to those that are living in the world all around us and know not the Lord in the free pardon of their sins. We're a wonder of wonders. Yes, sir. Now I want to say there's only one answer to that. And it's grace. Amen. It is grace. Yes, I've been accused of being a grace preacher. Amen. And I plead guilty as charged. I know no other thing to preach. For it is by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Oh, yes, sir, my friend. There's only one thing that can lift a sinner out of the miry clay and set him in the choir, or make a preacher out of him, or make a Sunday school teacher out of him, or set him behind a piano and let him play, or let him sing spiritual music in the house of God, and that's grace. There's only one thing that can take a cussing sinner and help him to sing melodies unto the Lord, and that's grace. There's only one thing that can take a man that used to beat his wife and now cause him to love her, and that's grace. There's only one thing, my friend, that can take an old perverted, lost, hell-bound sinner and make him a deacon or a prayer warrior or a soul winner, and that is the almighty, lovely, wonder-working grace of God in his life. I know that is right. There's only one answer, and it's grace. God's grace has cleaned you and I up. It's got our clothes on right. We that used to walk around in our Bermudas now put on long breeches. And those that used to wear tank tops, I never did. I wasn't too proud of my bony chest, nor my one hair in the middle of it. Amen. I've never been proud of that. I always wanted to wear clothes. But I'm telling you, it's grace that'll teach a man that he ought to put on some proper apparel and look like a human being, much less a child of royalty, a child of the King, a child of Almighty God. Say amen right there. It's only grace that'll teach a woman that you oughtn't to shorn her hair. Son, I'm going to tell you, that's about to get to be one of my pet peeves. I'm sick and tired of sitting in a restaurant or walking down the street or through the mall behind somebody, and you cannot tell whether it's a man or whether it's a woman. And the way some of the men dress anymore, you still can't tell whether they're a man or a woman. Now I'm telling you, I've never seen such an awful mess that's going on around us in my born days is what they are. Now, we pulled up today at the red light in front of Denny's, going to the Ponderosa to eat us some whatever you want to call it, mid-evening supper, whatever you want to call it. Miss All was talking, and I kept trying to get her attention, but a fella pulled up in a pickup truck beside us and was picked up a phone, was talking on that phone, but I could see enough of the right side of his face to notice that he had an ear piercing in his left eyebrow. He had an earring in his left ear, and he had a ball buried right here in the bottom lip. I'm telling you, my friend, there is only one thing that can teach somebody how to get the earrings out of their ears and get the earrings out of their eyes and the nose rings out of their nose and the ball bearings out of their lips, and that is the grace of Almighty God working in their life. Oh, grace is a wonder of wonders. David said, I am a wonder to many that are around me. I want to tell you, you're a wonder to many of them around you tonight, too. You may not know it. But I'll tell you, friend, somebody's watching you. There's somebody out there that knows you, that's keeping their eye on you. They're just waiting for you to make a mistake so they can point their finger at you. They're just waiting for you to lay out of one church service. They're just waiting for you to hobnob Sunday down to the lake or down to the beach. They're just waiting on you to get your television back, buddy, so they can point their finger at you and criticize you. I tell you, and the problem with them is the grace of God has not worked in them like it has in you, and you are a wonder in their lives to them. They wonder, some of this religious crowd that claims to be saved, they wonder why you're so radical and they're not. I'm going to tell you where the problem lies. They're blinded by the power of Satan. And their eyes have never been opened. Neither has their understanding ever been enlightened. And they're still lost, dead in their sin, and on their way to a devil's hell without God. And they cannot figure out what religion has done for them and what salvation has done for you. Up at the hospital, old Brother Billy Wicks asked his boy, said, "I want you to go to church Sunday." And his boy said, "Now, Dad," said, "you know that I'm the one that got you to go into church." And Billy looked up at him and said, "I'm not talking about going to church." He said, "I want you to go to church at Island Ford and let Brother Hall tell you the difference between salvation and religion." Yes. Friend, there's a vast difference between salvation and religion. Yes. And you're a wonder to that religious crowd. Why hadn't my religion done for me what their religion has done for them? I tell you the difference. Yours is a pure religion and undefiled before God. You have a religion, my friend, that has brought you to salvation, and they're yet lost and in their sin without God and without hope. I know that that's right. We've got our clothes right. Our appearance is different. Our homes are no longer places of Saturday night parties, but rather they're a haven of quiet rest. And many look upon us in great wonder. They cannot figure out why we're not partying with the boys anymore. Why we're not down at the Moose Lodge and the Goose Lodge. Why don't heaven's name has happened to you. I used to dance with you down at the Moose Lodge on Saturday night. And now all you want to do is act like an old stick in the mud and sit at the house and read your Bible and pray. What on heaven's name has happened to you? I'm going to tell you my reply would be the wonder of wonders. I have tasted of the good grace of God, and my heart has been renewed and regenerated, and I'm a new creature in Christ. Old David said, "I'm a wonder. I am a wonder to many." Now, don't leave me. Now, in Mark chapter number 6, you don't necessarily need to turn there. You can if you want to. But I'll just mention it. In Mark chapter number 6, and beginning with verse 1, those who were acquainted with the Lord, who were His friends and His relatives, they wondered the same thing about Him. That's right. For there, the Bible said that He went from thence and came to His own country. He went back home. He got around His neighbors and His relatives. And I'll be the first to say that your relatives tonight, those that are religious and lost, will be the first to bring you under the scrutinizing eye of examination and accuse you of just being a fanatic about the same religion that they've got, when in reality they have religion without hope and you have salvation with Jesus, which provides you with all hope in Him. That's right. That moron over there that writes them articles, Church of Christ. Why? You can't be once saved, always saved. Those people are preaching a damnable doctrine, he says. Damnable heresy. My, how foolish can a man get? It is not a damnable doctrine. It is eternal life. Amen. And I'm not hanging on and holding out and enduring unto the end. Brethren, I want to serve notice on you that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, from my vain conversation, just a life of vanities all it was. and I have not been redeemed, my friend, with carnal things, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. What a price that God paid for my sin and your sin. It is not only a priceless redemption, but my friend, it is a perfect redemption, for He has redeemed us, Paul said, from all iniquity, honey. A-L-L, all iniquity. What he said in Titus chapter number 3:2. All iniquity. And they wonder at that. How can they preach once saved, always saved? I'm going to tell you how we preach it, because we got it. And they wonder at that. How can he preach that? How can he tell those sitting in front of him that they've nothing to fear if they're living and resting in Christ? I'm going to tell you how I tell you. For the Bible declares it, that I've found a rest in Him. And that rest is eternal, my friend. Amen to God. I've sat down at the feet of Jesus and found a place of quiet rest near to the heart of Almighty God. They wonder. They wonder at that. How can He preach it? Because He lives it. He's experienced it. He knows it. Same reason you can. They wonder how. Can they keep coming to church on Tuesday nights and Sunday morning and Sunday night? And it seems that God is gone and Ichabod's on the door. I tell you how, because we understand the Bible. And we've got a understanding of the work of grace in our life. And we realize that God is just working on us in some mysterious way that He saw fit to withhold from us right now. But by and by down the road, friend, I'll assure you the truth of it will come out, and God will visit His people again, and the blessings of God will be on us again. And they wonder why we can continue to come. Don't have any hymns sang. Don't have any sports activities. All they have is preaching. They must be crazy. They don't want to ever have any fun. No, you're right. They're right. I'm not looking for fun. I don't need fun, for I found joy. Who needs fun? That's temporal and carnal. I found the joy of the Lord, my friend, and His joy satisfies the thirsting of my soul. I found Him in the solitary place, and I found Him in the sanctuary, and I have found Him out in the discourses of the city. I found Him as my all in all, my everything. I don't need their secular amusements and entertainments. I found the Lord. And when the Lord, there in Mark chapter number 6, that crowd said they wondered at Him when they... When the Lord had went back to His own country, they wondered at Him. And here's what they said. They said, how doth He show forth such great miracles? How doth He heal all these people? And they said, and then they began to wonder how He can do this. My, He's just a carpenter, is what they said now. I'm just quoting it. I'm not reading between the lines. He's a carpenter. Where does He have such authority? And who gave Him all this power? Is it Mary not His mother, and Simon and Joseph and Judas? Are they not His brothers in the flesh then? And they begin to wonder at the Lord. I tell you what their problem was, my friend. They could not see through His humanity into His deity and recognize that it was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, that had visited His people. It was God that was walking amongst them. They couldn't see the miracle of the incarnation. And those that wonder at you and I, and those that wondered at David, could not see the miracle of regeneration. How that you must be born again. And all things are passed away, and all things are become new. And we're made a brand new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wonder at that. The reason they do, they cannot see the miraculous second birth in a real child of God. David said, they wonder. They wonder. I am as a wonder unto many. Now, I believe that we find those things that they wondered about in David's life in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7. If you want to turn your Bible there, I'll preach from there for just a little while. And by the way, while you're turning there, can you listen just a minute? The word there, wonder, It means several things, and one of those things is it means a miracle. Oh yes, they wondered at the miracle. It means a token. It means a sign. It means to be wondered at. They stood back and scratched their heads and wondered at David. How on earth could a little shepherd boy like David be exalted to the kingship of over Israel? Oh, David said, I'm a wonder. That word wonder there means to be bright. It means to be beautiful. Oh, yes. Did you know that you shine tonight? You're shining. You're as bright as the firmament. But it just ain't got dark enough yet for you to be seen. Have you ever considered that? That's what they're wondering at. Friend, we're shining brighter than what we think we are. Oh, yes, sir, that's why we're mocked. That's why we're criticized and ridiculed. They see the brightness of our life. That is a token of God's divine grace upon us. And they wonder how we can keep on shining in the midst of a perverse generation. Why don't we cave in? Why don't we capitulate? Why don't we compromise? Why don't we yield our standards and lay our armor bearer down? Why don't we just quit and join the ranks of the rest of this crowd? We're shining brightly, my friend. Count it all joy, Jesus said, when all men persecute you. But you better beware when all men speak well about you. I'll take their persecutions, Doug. Let them talk. I'd rather they talk evil about me than they do good. I sat last night and I got to thinking, and I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but I got to thinking that I don't really, as far as I know, a preacher friend, and I love some of the preachers, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but as far as I know, that there is not one preacher that I would feel comfortable in laying my head in his breast and telling him how I really feel down in my heart, that I might find sympathy from him. Oh, the preachers that used to ring my phone, my friend, at all hours of the day and numerous times during the week, I'll assure you that if it ever rains anymore, for the most part, it'll either be Brother Brown or Brother Nolan. And when you get away from them, son, they're gone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, and many of them have went out. Brother Hyatt called me this morning. We were talking about a preacher. A young preacher is younger than I am. He's not really a young preacher, but he's younger than I. But the boy has never heard me preach in his life. And Brother Hyatt said, I talked to him, told him about you. And he said, oh, you better watch Hall. He's a Baptist brighter. Wonder where he got that. He's never heard me preach. Brother Joel said, who told you that? And he said, oh, my daddy heard him preach one time. I'm here to tell you, my friend, daddy heard me preach one time. Now, I've been labeled by a man that I've known since 1982 as a Baptist brother. And the man has never heard Brother Hall preach. And I'm telling you that the fellowship is a getting smaller and smaller and smaller, my friend. And those that are without speak evil about your pastor in this church. But I tell you, let them speak evil. I'd rather have them speaking evil than all men speaking good about me. For I know that I must be doing right if they're talking about me. Somebody said, Brother Hall, they oughtn't to do that. They talked about the Lord. He had no friends. He died friendless. He died on the cross alone. All men fled from him. Bless him. Are you listening? Hallelujah. They said, it's the carpenter's son. They wondered at him. They wondered at David. And I read in 2 Samuel chapter 7. I'll make my point before I read. There's four or five verses there that I'll give you 5 points from. We'll go to the house. But I want to say they wondered. Now listen. How grace had brought him from poverty to spiritual wealth. They wondered at that. Now, I didn't say worldly wealth. I said spiritual wealth. For the Bible said there in verse 8, and this is Nathan the prophet. He is receiving word from God to give to David. And in verse 8, he says, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote and from following the sheep to be ruler over my people Israel. just a little old shepherd boy. God said, I brought him from a life of poverty. He was just a shepherd boy, a following a few little bleating sheep of his daddy Jesse. And he was a nobody, and he was going nowhere. But I sent a man by the name of Samuel to anoint him with the oil of God, and I raised him up and made him a ruler over all my people Israel. Are you hearing me? Bless your heart. God brought David from a life of poverty to spiritual wealth. And that's exactly where He's brought you from. You're a wonder of His grace. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were without God and without hope in this world. You were of all men most miserable. Twice dead. Plucked up by the roots, vile, wretched, worthy, ungodly, and sinners. But God, my friend, reached down into the depths of your immortal soul and bathed it in His own precious blood and lifted you out of the mire, my friend. And now He's made a spiritual somebody out of you. He's let you. He has blessed you with trials and afflictions and hardships and hard times. Somebody said, that don't sound like a blessing to me. Read your Bible, Muckwheat. It's a blessing to be tried of the Lord. It's a blessing to be chastened of the Lord. For those He loves, He rebukes and chastens. What a joy and what a blessing it is if folks could ever get a hold of that. And God showed me something here, Brother Steve, that I've read and read and read this. Now, I've never seen it. Listen carefully now. God brought him from following the sheep and made him a shepherd. That's what it says. I took thee from the sheepcote from following the sheep. If I understand that right now, and I understand where I'm at with this, he was the shepherd of that flock. I understand that. But the Bible said that he followed the sheep. If I can just interject something there, David didn't even make a good sheep. He was like Paul, the least of all the saints. He was so unworthy that he wasn't even tethered to be part of the flock. Oh, somebody said, I'm unworthy, Brother Hall, and I'm unnotable. God doesn't know me, know who I am. I'm not as good as the rest of the crowd. Hey, that's exactly where David was when God found him. He was a following the sheep, but God brought him from behind the sheep, surpassed the sheep, and made a shepherd of the sheep out of him. Did you get a hold of that now? I'm simply saying God can take a nobody. Make a somebody out of him. Brother Wayne, I remember when I first got acquainted with Brother Noel. Went down to Bible Baptist. Little old ragtag boy. Bought little old suits. I couldn't wait to dress right to come to church. And I run to yard sales and bought suits and neckties and looked like Charlie Brown and a clown about half the time. And after I got called to preach and moved over to Rumsey, I wore a white suit over there, and they laughed at me and called me Colonel Harlan Sanders, wearing his white chicken outfit and all that stuff. So I'm going to tell you what, as old Billy Kelly said, buddy, if Mama could only see me now. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Brought me from somewhere following the sheep. I'm telling you, when I went to Bible Baptist Church, I was a low man on the totem pole. I didn't know Adam from his house cat, amen. Didn't know A to Z. Didn't hardly know John 3:16 at that time. That's how far along I was. But God took me from the low place on the totem pole and made a shepherd of the sheep out of them. And I tell you, somebody said, how has it happened? It's all grace. I'm telling you, you're looking tonight at a wonder of the grace of God and the wonder of it all. What God has done for me and what God has done for David, God can do for all fallen humanity. Better believe that's right. Hallelujah to God. He made a wonder. They wondered how grace. David was first made a sweet psalmist in the courts of Saul. Saul had an evil spirit, and a man there in Saul's court said, behold, he said, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. By the way, it's Bethlehem, the land of no bread, poverty, poor tribe, poor city in all Israel. That's where he was from. He said that he is cunning in plan, and he is mighty, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war. And he said that he is prudent in matters, and comely person, And he said, and the Lord's with him. And he set him in the court of Saul and let him begin to play. Just brought him down to the church house and let him begin to play. He didn't amount to, didn't seem to be much. He wasn't a cupbearer. He wasn't one of David's mighty soldiers. All he was a little psalmist sitting in the church house or playing the piano. A little insignificant nobody. But lo and behold, what that crowd around him didn't know, that David was a wonder of the grace of God. And God was ready to exalt him, my friend, as the ruler over all Israel. Hallelujah to God. He was unknown to Saul in the Valley of Elah. When he went out to fight Goliath, Saul said, who is that stripling? Hey, Joab said, who is that little stripling? Joab said, why, I believe that's the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. Said, fetch the lad and bring him here to me. Saul didn't even know him, and he'd been in front of him playing the harp. Are you listening? He defeated the giant that day and delivered all Israel. They begin to cry, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. He eventually married a king's daughter and was brought into royalty. But yet that wasn't all, my friend. God brought him from the sheep colt and made him a ruler over all Israel. Don't you tell me that you're helpless and useless in the service of God. God can take every one of this little ragtag outfit and magnify grace in you and make somebody out of you. I got to hurry. I already passed my time. Let me read this verse to you. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He owned it all, ladies and gentlemen. And he became poor, that through his poverty you might be made rich. That you may become spiritual giants. Oh, somebody said, preacher, I cannot be. Yes, you can. You can read your Bible, you can pray, you can, and God's grace can work in you, and you can be a spiritual giant. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can grow in grace. You can learn to pray. You can learn to witness. You can, my friend, learn to say amen. You can learn to witness. You can learn to worship. You can learn to sing in the choir and praise God. You can lift your hand. You can. And I'll tell you why you can. Because God can. Can God? God can. I said it's all of grace. All of grace is my story. All the way from earth to glory, my friend. It's grace working on us, in us, through us, and for us. Yeah. Right. David said, they wonder at me. And I tell you, I got to wonder sometimes myself what grace can do. I want to say secondly, they not only wondered at how God brought him from poverty to spiritual wealth, but they wondered at the presence of God in his life. For it goes on to say there in verse number 9, he said, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. Whithersoever. Anywhere. Wherever you went, I was with you. Oh, I've had some to wonder at, Brother Hall. Are you listening to me tonight? I've had folks in our area that have tried their best to run me off. Oh, yes, deprive me of my pastorate. And I'm going to tell you when the final... I had one of them to stand right back in that foyer. And if I mentioned his name, everybody in here would know it. And if you don't know it, I don't mind telling you, but this is on tape. And I just wouldn't want everybody to hear it. And I'll tell you at the end of the service. But he stood right back there in the foyer, and I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, apparently, you're in the will of God, and God is with you. If he wasn't, you'd have been gone a long time ago. Are you listening to me? The presence of God. They wondered at God's presence in his life, and they wonder at God's presence in your life when they see God fighting your battles for you, my friend, and winning them. See God establishing you and setting you up and strengthening you and blessing you, and God's heaven opening up and God's windows opening up and him shoveling the blessings out upon you. They'll wonder at the working of grace in your life. That's right. God was with him in the cave when he fled from Saul. And I think that's where a whole lot of y'all are at tonight. Come on out. Amen. You know the sun's are shining out here. It's dark as a dungeon in the cave. It's as dark as a dungeon. And the sun seldom shines. Oh, and I wonder, Lord, why must this be? And then He draws me aside to be tested and tried. For in the valley He restoreth my soul. Are you listening? Come on out of the cave. God was with him in the cave. But God brought him out of the cave. And I tell you, God's presence will be with you in this cave that we're in tonight. I tell you, God was with him. God was with him in the land of the Philistines when he appeared to be overcome. You know what the Philistines are? They're the flesh. He went off down to Abimelech, and it appeared there that the Philistines would surely swallow David up. But God was with him and brought him again back into the land of Israel. Folks, I'm telling you, God is with you in the land of the Philistines to help you overcome them. I want to say, thirdly, God was with him when he came to die. Read 2 and 1 Kings chapter 1. And you will find, brother, that when he came to die, he was so old that his body got no heat. But he was still able to set Solomon on the throne when Nathan and Bathsheba got their little scheme together. God was still with him, and he still done the will of God when he was dying in his old age. I want to say, thirdly, they wondered at God's power in cutting off all his enemies. Verse 9, I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight. Cut them all off. I've cut off the flesh. I've cut your coattail from the world. I've cut this society. And by the way, God can even give victory over the devil tonight and everything else. And they wonder how we can live in victory. Not follow after this wicked world that we're living in. I'm going to tell you how, friend. Grace. I'm going to tell you why I don't have to take my clothes off. Grace. I'm going to tell you why I don't have to go to the mountains and all this and that mess and dress improperly and drink liquor and carouse. It's because of grace. Amen. I'm going to tell you why I don't have to have a television sitting in my house. It's grace. Amen. I'm going to tell you why I don't have to listen to the Wildcats. Amen. It's grace. Amen. That is right. We were somewhere a while back and I looked down and it said, had a bumper sticker on a car. Said, 1999, Wildcats. Champion Wildcats. And I said, I'm going to get me a bumper sticker. No, it said 1998, 99, whatever it was. I said, I'm going to get me a bumper sticker. It's going to say 1999, Pussycats. I give a flip less, friend. I don't give a flip about that mess. I talked to a preacher there. They said, jump all over me if you preach down here because I kind of keep up with the ball games and the volunteers. Well, I said, what you do is your business and what I preach is mine. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't need the Wildcats. And they wonder how on heaven's name that an ardent Los Angeles Dodger follower to lay it aside and serve and seek God. I tell you how it is a wonder of the grace of God working in our lives.
Amen.
That's right. Cutting off our enemies. That word cut off there literally means cutting of flesh and the passing between the pieces. It's talking about a covenant. He said, the reason I cut off your enemies is because you and I have a covenant relationship. And if you've got a covenant relationship with God, He can cut off your enemies too. I'm going to say number four. Number four, they wondered at God's promotion of His name. Look what it says in verse number 9. He said, I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name. Now, he didn't say he made him great. He said he gave him a great name. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. If I know anything at all about my life, I want my name to be right. Let the mockers mock, and let the criticizers criticize. I mean, let the persecutors pursue. But, oh, I want a good name. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Solomon said, if I had a choice between two, riches or a good name, I'll take the name. Used to be a man's name and his word was his bond. You'd go to the banker on a handshake and borrow money. And now they want you to sign your life away, your wife's life away, give them all your insurance policies, sign your car, home, automobile, and your children over to them, and promise to give your great-grandchildren as slaves when they get here. Ain't that way anymore. I'm going to tell you why. It's because people have not walked honestly. People have not paid their bills. People have not been faithful on the job. People cannot be trusted. And they wonder how that God's people can go down on the job and not steal tools. They wonder how God's people go to work and not steal money. I'm going to tell you something, friend. A good name. Wouldn't you hate to die and somebody walk by you like that woman that was in politics over here and say, there lays the old heifer that embezzled $1.7 million from 1990 to 1999. And you know what they done to her? They found her guilty, dropped the charges, and put her on state retirement at $90,000 a year. And she just stole $1.7 million from the state. She's a hero. She's a crook. She ought to be in Sing Sing. She ought to be making license plates for 3 cents a day. I'll close with this. They wondered at the perpetuity of his life. Look at verse number 12, and I'm closing. And when the days... This is the Lord speaking. When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Folks, you know what he's talking about there? Solomon directly, but you know who prophetically he's talking about? Jesus. Jesus is the one that's going to build the house, and his kingdom is the one that's going to be established forever, not Solomon's. He's given him a perfect... Oh, listen. You and I, our heritage, friend, is perpetuated in Christ. God is going to bless us on through the ages while this crowd here continues to wonder at what's going on. God has then perpetuated our life on down through the ages through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're part of His kingdom. And you know, when Nathan went to David and read all these things, who in here can tell me what David said? In verse 18, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? And who am I that one would say, not my will, thine for? The answer we may never know, why he ever loved us so. But to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who are we? We're wonders of His grace. And if we look at what He's done, we like David ought to say, who am I? Who am I that a king would beat and die for? Amen and amen. Let's stand together.